For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I'm not going to lie, you're slacking. You're slacking on starting that business you've been holding off on. It's just living in your head. And if you don't act now, that idea is going to leave, or maybe someone's going to take that idea. And there's a tool that I personally use, and that is Shopify. You don't need to be a web designer. You can just start moving, zooming in, adding the text you need, adding pictures you need. And Shopify has so many templates you can use from. Get it out of your head and onto a website with Shopify. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. They make it easy to manage growing your business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on all the important stuff like growing your business. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025 has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sonoro to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/sonoro.
Your data is like gold to hackers, and they'll sell it to the highest bidder. Are you protected? McAfee helps shield you, blocking suspicious texts, malicious emails, and fraudulent websites. McAfee Secure VPN lets you browse safely, and its AI-powered tech scam detector spots threats instantly. You'll also get up to $2 million of award-winning antivirus and identity theft protection, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
Hey, I don't drink and I feel uncomfortable and I need something in my hand. I think those are very valid concerns, but they're very very surface level first few months being alcohol free. Then the bigger pivot is I have to start to reckon with maybe the things that I used to think were fun aren't fun anymore. And I have to figure out how to tolerate them for a specific amount of time, how to gracefully bow out without having FOMO. And then how to figure out, by the way, what I really like to do, how I really like to connect.
Welcome to the No Podcast with me, Nikki Spo.
What's up, fam? You are listening to The Know, where it is not about knowing everything. It is about coming to know ourselves. I'm your hostess, Nikki Spolstra. I'm so happy you're here. Today, we are hearing from Amanda Kuda, who helps ambitious women level up their life, career, and relationships and say goodbye to booze and unbottle your potential. Today's conversation is aimed to help us take a look at and maybe even reframe our relationships with alcohol so that we can begin to manifest the life that we truly deserve. So Amanda's journey shows you that you don't need a drinking problem with alcohol to hold back. Much different from me and my own experience and that of many people that I've met in recovery programs, for Amanda, without hitting rock bottom, she discovered that during dry January, that sobriety was the key to a more fulfilling life. And since going alcohol free in 2017, she's been helping others embrace intentional living and unlock their full potential. Her debut book, Unbottled Potential, is a transformative guide to living alcohol-free, designed to help people manifest success and lead extraordinary lives. Amanda's approach isn't about temporary challenge. It's about redefining what it means to live fully and authentically through Sober Curious Movement. So this Sober Curious Movement, I think, is super important. I wasn't personally sober curious. I wanted nothing to do with being sober at all. I was actually adamantly trying to not be sober. But I definitely now in my sobriety have seen a shift in people, especially young people, which is really, really amazing, start to question their relationships with alcohol. So Amanda and I are going to cover all of these things today.
Okay, so before we get started, there's a quick reminder to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening in from so that you never miss an episode and you get automatic downloads, which help get our discussions in front of more people who need to hear them. Also, you've probably heard me talking about the exclusive online women's community that I have created called Becoming Her, where I have been meeting with women from all over the country as we hold space for and encourage one another to become the her of our highest desires, myself included. The power of community and shared experience has given me tremendous strength and hope, and it has truly transformed my entire life. So I want to invite you to come sit with us, and I have a special gift, a discounted lifetime membership specifically for my audience, which is linked in the show notes, and I will hope to see you in there. Okay, so back to Case. You post his content, and I'm interviewing him today for the second time, coming from a whole new mindset and state of being. That's it. Let's get started.
Hey, Nikki. So glad to be here.
Welcome. I'm so happy to talk with you. You know, I don't often meet, in my recovery program, I've met people like mostly that have hit rock bottom, right? Like mm-hmm. that is, and you can hit rock bottom under a bridge, or you can hit rock bottom on the floor or the bathroom of your penthouse apartment on the Upper East Side in New York City. You know what I mean? Like everybody's rock bottom is so subjective and can be different for so many people. I'm really interested in your journey through, you know, the initial challenge of dry January and how that's become something that's been sustainable for you now over several years since.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so excited to talk and share because I think that, you know, there are so many approaches to the same destination of sobriety or living an alcohol-free lifestyle. But for people like me who I didn't like, quote, meet the criteria for recovery and addiction. And so it kind of intimidated me because I thought, well, if I'm not checking those boxes, am I even, and this sounds silly, but am I even allowed to quit drinking? Like, shouldn't I just be able to figure it out? And so there was this like mental hemming and hawing, kind of like you said, in my life where I didn't really want to quit drinking. And oh, by the way, because no one said that I had to, because I didn't have a problem, I felt this sense that, well, maybe I should just figure it out. But figuring it out took a lot of energy and it was like consistently pulling me away from the life that I wanted to have. So I really want to speak to any woman out there, man, of course, as well, but typically women who they feel the same way, like they're curious about being alcohol free, but they kind of don't even feel like they're invited into the club because they are normal drinkers. And I think it's such an important conversation to have.
Yeah, I definitely am not a normal drinker. And I always say to people, because ever since I came out about my sobriety, Amanda, like a lot of people have reached out and been like, how did you do it? What were the signs? You know, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, the signs for me were that I hated my life and my life was mm-hmm. becoming unmanageable. And from the outside, you know, I had the car, I had the husband, I had the life, I had the house, I had like the Instagram, I had all the external things. I had a family, you know, and for me, it wasn't so much of like the outside, like becoming unmanageable. For me, it was like my internal world, like the way that I spoke to myself, the way I felt about my life, like the way that I felt so small and I didn't have control over my own life experiences, that was becoming unmanageable for me. So when people approach me and they're like, well, what were the signs? I'm like, it's different. I personally think that I was drinking alcoholically since the first time I took a drink. Mm-hmm. And so what I always say to people, whether they identify as having a drinking problem or leaning towards alcoholism or not, it's like if you have the curiosity, right, or the just the awareness of like, let me take a look at this drinking, try it, like lean into that, like it's like, oh, I've never been to Asia. Well, I'd like to maybe go there someday. Like you're allowed to be curious about going to Asia. Like you're allowed to be curious about visiting South America. Like you're allowed to be curious about trying a new lip gloss. Like why can't we try on these different lifestyles, right? And so the sober curious movement is really interesting. And I always think it's a good idea. If you are curious, go out and try some controlled drinking. As we say, like in programs, is like go out and try some controlled drinking, see how that makes you feel. For me, if I tried to limit myself to one drink or two drinks, I'm like, that was painful. Mm-hmm. That was painful because I cannot be satiated. Mm-hmm. Like, that is my sickness. For other people who might be normal drinkers, they might not feel that. They're like, oh, I can stop at one drink. I can stop at two drinks. It's not that big of a deal. Like that inner turmoil isn't there. So whereas people come to me and say, well, what were the signs for you, Amanda, as a normal drinker, somebody who identifies as a normal drinker, what were the signs for you that you were like, oh, I need to question this?
Yeah. Well, as you were writing, I really tapped into the word that you said, your life was unmanageable. And I really identified with everything else because yes, I had, you know, the car, the house, the job, the relationships, that everything looked shiny, that I was checking the boxes on the outside. And it wasn't that my inner life was unmanageable, because I felt like I was doing okay, but that was the part that made it hard. It was just okay. It wasn't unmanageable, but it was unfulfilling.
Wow.
And that hurt. It still hurt because I knew I wasn't living the life that I was meant to live. And either I kind of came to this crossroads where it was either work harder and drag my ass into the ground, or maybe drop some dead weight. And when I did the math, it just seemed that alcohol, even though it was a social lubricant for me, it was an emotional crutch, it was something that I felt like I needed and deserved and should be able to keep in my life because that relationship was normal. At the end of the day, Nikki, I didn't want a normal life. I wanted an extraordinary life. And so I had to drop the dead weight. And the only thing that was coming out as unproductive in my life was that relationship with alcohol. That was just a clear, obvious one. And as much as it felt edgy and kind of scary to give it up, it also felt like there was this huge opportunity that was waiting to reveal itself to me. And that if I just got out of my own way and got rid of the normal, like mundane thing in my life that was alcohol, that maybe it would be possible. And that's kind of where the curiosity sparked for me, that I just felt like there was something bigger and better on the other side of this habit. And you know what? I was right. Within a very short amount of time, everything that I wanted, everything except meeting Oprah, literally on my, and I'm sure it's just around the corner, on my box of life, it's like everything just started to happen. And that is so amazing when you go from feeling lackluster to having your wildest dreams start to come true because you just started showing up differently. That felt really badass. And I'm like, I can't not share this with other people because I know that there are other women who are right on the cusp of what they want and what they deserve and what they desire so deeply. And they're playing small. They're holding themselves back. They're dulling their sparkle with this habit that really isn't necessary if you just figure out how to do life without it.
I think there's something potent about what you said about people who don't identify as having a problem, feeling like they can't join the club, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I don't have a problem, so I don't really get to entertain this idea. And it is, I completely understand what you're saying about the social lubricant. Like what I didn't realize about my own life was that as much as I used drinking as a social lubricant, it actually brought me so much more anxiety than peace, right? Like, so now when I go out, I like, if I want to dance on a table, I'll dance on the table and I do it consciously. Like I'm making this decision from a place of like fun and like just lightness rather than like, I'm trying to get attention or I'm trying to do this or like all of the secondary gains that we get or the dopamine hits that we get from our behaviors or our reactions or when we're drinking. And for me, that led to using drugs. And, you know, this is something I've never even admitted out loud. And I think it's, my life has gotten so phenomenally better, like on a more level better in the 4 years of my sobriety in the face of horrible things that happened, right? Like my mom passing away, then being pregnant while my then 4-year-old had cancer, while my marriage was imploding and going through a divorce, all of this, I stayed sober through those things. And I still look back at these last 4.5 years and I'm like, my life is better than ever. And you know what, Amanda? It makes me think, am I an alcoholic? I do this. I question myself. You know, fortunately, I'm in a program and I have a ton of support and I actually know that I'm an alcoholic. Like I believe that on a soul level. But like there were times in these last 4 years where I've been experienced so much more peace and joy and just trusting my decision making of even really hard decisions, right? Like easy decisions and just my intuition. It's just like, since becoming sober, my intuition is like on point. There's nothing foggy about it in my life. And so there have been times where I think to myself, oh, am I an alcoholic or was I just miserable or were my circumstances just bad or was I in an environment that wasn't happy for me? Was that really the problem? But ultimately, what I always come back to, Amanda, is that I'm not willing to test the theory.
Yes.
My life has gotten so fucking good that I'm like, I'm not even willing to test the theory. For what? Why?
I love that so much because you've gotten to the magic point where it's ticking. And like, I'm feeling so much energy just like talking to you about it and like seeing like there's like an emotion brewing under there of like pride and like courage that you've had to pull forward, like real pride and courage, not just to get up and dance on a table, because that's a moment of like, hey, I'm in full control. I'm actually doing this because I want to, and I'm not going to regret it tomorrow. And yes, I'm having
over here. Shimmy, shimmy.
Yes. Over. Yes. I'm having real confidence. But then the other swing of that is, wow, I've been present for like really freaking hard grief, sadness, heartbreak. And through it all, like that's what has developed my self-esteem. That has what has developed me as a person. And that my life has become so beautiful, even through the hard pieces, because I've been present through it, that alcohol is insignificant. So I'm not willing to test the waters. And I think that that is the magic sauce that we can get to if we're just willing to show up for ourselves, regardless of what started the path. I don't right. care if it's, you know, because you had a bad day and a bad hangover, because you're like me and you believe there's something else bigger and better out there, or because you knew that this path was going to lead to self-destruction. I think that we all started this journey, but if we can get to that point where it's, my life is infinitely better without alcohol, it's insignificant in my life, I'm not willing to test the waters because I figured out all of the formulas for how to do life without it, like, what's the point now? Oh. And that's really cool. I just want to congratulate you on that, because what you've been through is really hard, and being able to be present for it is the true superpower in life.
It really is, like being able to move through it. And thank you. It's just like being able to like sit with your emotions rather than escape it. And that doesn't mean for me that like, I do other things. I search for dopamine in other ways, right? Like,
me too.
Which is something that as an alcoholic and an addict, like that's something I check in with personally, right? I'm like, oh, you're shopping. What do you want that? Or are you just looking for like a dopamine hit? Oh, you're being extra flirty. Like, are you just, do you really like that person? Or are you looking for a dopamine hit? Like, oh, you're doing like all the other ways in which I personally fill like the void of what it is that makes me an addict, right? But something moving into like the sober curious movement, something that I've always noticed, right? Because I'm so open about my sobriety, people are always like, oh my gosh, aren't you like, don't you get nervous if you're at a bar? Like, listen, there's a lot of alcoholics that cannot go to bars, right? Mm-hmm. They cannot go to bars. They cannot be around alcohol. I happen to not be that way. I'm a little bit more funky around drugs. Like I do not want any drugs around me, right? Like, cause then I'll be like, oh my God, short circuit. But like, I can go to bars. I can watch other people have a drink. I have no problem toasting with a glass of water when people are like, oh, that's bad luck. I'm like, whatever, shut up. Right. But there are a lot of people that feel insecure going to a bar and ordering a water or tea or coffee. And so there's people who are like, oh, I'll order a bitter and soda, like bitters and soda, or I need to have something that looks like a cocktail so people don't ask me questions. And there's still like this weird shame about that, where it's like, I don't feel, the answer is simply as like, I don't feel like it today.
Yeah, I don't drink, period. I stopped drinking.
Like, no, I'm not pregnant. No, I'm not, you know, I don't have a, like, nobody needs to necessarily know the business. But I do think that even normal drinkers, right, and people who don't identify as alcoholics do feel some type of way socializing without alcohol.
Yeah, it's the biggest, anytime I do an intake form or a survey, it's the biggest outward fear that people have is, how will I be perceived socially? How will I talk about this? It's the thing that people avoid the most, and that trips them up and ultimately like leads to a slip up because they haven't prepared for it because it's scary. And at the end of the day, I would want anyone to be able to evaluate their social situation and, you know, with confidence say, I don't drink, I stopped drinking, I'm not drinking right now. And also, if sometimes people find that they just have to avoid those scenarios for a while. But if you're going to be a functioning person in society, you have to be able to at some point go out and be amongst people who are doing different things as you and activate some self-confidence and self-control or whatever it is that you need to activate in those moments, because you can't skip. Sure, you can skip going to the bars, but you don't want to skip every wedding or, you know, promotion celebration or retirement celebration, whatever it is, just because other people will be drinking. And I think that the really big thing that, you know, we have to get to is being able to talk about it and being able to be okay. But the bigger thing underneath that, and I wonder if you've experienced this, Nikki, because you talked about being able to tap into your intuition, is being okay for a short amount of time being disconnected from people. Because when you drink alcohol, or when someone else is drinking alcohol and you're not, at some point they're going to be on a different metaphysical level than you, right? And it feels sad because they're at this level where, you know, either things seem really funny or giddy, but at realistically, they kind of get to a superficial point to where you can't have any conversation that accumulates to true depth and connection. And for someone who's sober, that starts to feel disappointing and sad. And I think that's the thing that we really need to call out is this, you're not really connecting with alcohol, but it's really obvious when you're the one who's not consuming that we're not connected in this moment. And that feels really awkward and unfulfilling for me. And I wonder if you ever have that kind of sense when you're out.
Yeah. I also think that it's part of my personality. I don't think that I've ever been like a superficial conversationalist. Right. And I think that's part of why I drink is because like I, by default, like I take the route of like, what's your biggest childhood fear? Like, and I don't mean to be that way. I don't like, I'm always in search just like instinctively as a being for like deep and meaningful conversations, right? This is why I took up this line of work. I'm like, I need to talk to more people and have deep and meaningful conversations. I literally talk for a living, right? So I've always felt that way. And like, I think that my drinking, a lot of it, especially socially, would come from like, okay, I need to make this superficial experience more palatable for me, right? Mm-hmm. I need to be able to like relate with these people and think their stupid jokes are fucking funny. like I remember thinking that and it worked. And then I became light and distant and detached, just like the environment. And that's not to knock the environment. Like there's fun to be had. Like you can have so much fun. I remember having so much fun, but I do think that there was a disconnect. I do feel like I was disconnected. And so now that I'm oftentimes like one of the only or few sober people in a social setting, what I've had to lean into, Amanda, is more of a sense of like being entertained. Like I can get to a place where I'm like, okay, we've now left the deep and meaningful chat.
No one's available.
There's no longer any deep and meaningful shit happening here. And so now I get to like watch the movie. And mm-hmm. like find these people or experiences entertaining. And if it gets to a point for me where I'm like, this is not entertaining for me, I like gracefully depart. I also now I'm a huge fan. I used to be the person who needed to like outdrink the guys and be the last girl standing and be the one who could party the hardest and like be the funniest and the most extreme. And now I take a great sense of pride in being like, I'm the first one to leave the party. Like, I actually don't need to, I conquered, I saw the people I wanted to see. I connected with who I wanted to connect to. And now my bed is calling my name and I love it there.
Yes, I'm so with you. And I think that's the pivot that's hard to make is not so much as, hey, I don't drink and I feel uncomfortable and I need something in my hand. I think those are very valid concerns, but they're very like, very surface level first few months being alcohol free. Then the bigger pivot is I have to start to reckon with maybe the things that I used to think were fun aren't fun anymore. And I have to figure out how to tolerate them for a specific amount of time, how to gracefully bow out without having FOMO. And then how to figure out, by the way, what I really like to do, how I really like to connect and to put myself out there in new situations and scenarios and make new friends and try new things. Like, those are the rocks that I get really exhilarated supporting people behind, because I can find you a mocktail or something to like navigate and white knuckle through like a quick and easy happy hour any day. But if you want to experience the real like transformation of being alcohol free, it's finding that deeper authenticity, saying no to things that no longer serve you and figuring out what the things are that you really enjoy. Because I imagine too, Nikki, if you're like me, you've gotten to be able to find new exciting hobbies and ways to connect with people. And for me, those things are very wholesome and simple. Yeah. And it seems a little like nerdy that I just love to go on walks with my friends. But that's what really brings me joy socially now is getting to have those more intimate moments. And it's not the big glitzy and glamorous parties that I used to go to and think were cool.
Yeah, totally relate to that. And I think that even still, right, like for anybody who's listening, who's like been sober for a period of time or is sober curious for a period of time, or maybe comes and goes from like being dry, right? Mm-hmm. I think like that changes over time, right? Like I used to identify completely like with being sober. I'm like, I'm sober, I'm sober, I'm sober, I'm an alcoholic. And like, I found joy in those years, right? In my year one and year two. And now as I continue throughout the journey, I'm like reevaluating. Like I was recently talking with somebody and I've been working so hard and dealing with my divorce and dealing with co-parenting and all these like big life changes that I'm like consumed and building my business here, right? Like where I'm consumed mm-hmm. with all this stuff that like when I slow down, Amanda, sometimes I'm like, who the fuck am I outside of all of those things, right? I'm like, who am I outside of those things? And I think that is just like a subcategory of like the not drinking, right? It's like, okay, I'm not drinking. Who am I under that layer, right? Okay, now that I'm not, like, let's go a deeper layer now. Like, now that I'm not in mom mode, or I'm no longer a wife, or I'm not no longer Mrs. So-and-so, or I'm no longer a podcaster, I'm no longer a content creator, I'm by myself. Now what do I like? What do I like? Because I like my job. I like my kids. I like being a co-parent. I like, you know, the life that I've created for myself. But even still, under all of those other things, like, what do I really like? I'm like, oh, well, I like dancing. I haven't taken a dance class over a year. You know, like, oh, I like walking. I like watching sunsets.
When am I doing that? Yeah. Things, okay. Right? Well, I have to make it to Miami so we can take a dance class together. Cause that is like one of my joys. That, guess when I gave that up? When I was 19 or 20, I stopped dancing unless I was at the club. And then when I stopped going to the club, I stopped dancing altogether. And I think as women, especially.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Women who are taking on bigger responsibilities, they're starting families. What you start to do is lose a part of that authentic self because you're told you don't have time for dancing. You don't have time for that's a luxury. That's not monetizable. That's not productive. That's not supporting your family. But guess what? If we lose those things, no wonder we turn to alcohol because we're unfulfilled and we're trying to fill a void that could be filled so simply with an hour of dancing every week, right?
Cycle. It truly is a cycle because like then you're bored and you start to drink, right? And then you're drinking and then you don't make the time for the things you like. And it's just like this weird vortex that you can get in. But like even on a deeper level, right? And this is it's like a theme for life. It really is like a theme for life, right? It's not just about, we can sit here and talk about like being sober, curious, and dry January and all the benefits of that, which we will get to because I think people want to hear tangible things and examples about how drastically and beautifully your life can improve. But it's also like, this is just like a large umbrella topic for a lot of these sub topics that are really, really important in our lives, right? Like, who am I outside of alcohol and who am I outside of all of the roles that I play in life and coming to really know and understand yourself and so that your intuition is solid so that you make decisions from a place of purity, kind-heartedness, authenticity, confidence, like being self-assured, all of these things, right? Because all those other labels in our lives, those are crutches in a way, right? Beautiful ones that we've created. Like we might really like those labels and they might do us service in a lot of ways and bring us a lot of positivity or money or whatever it is, you know, the gains that we get from them. But like underneath it, what is it? But on the note of the benefits of being sober, like how you can share with us how that's presented in your life, the benefits, but also like in general, since you speak with tons of people about this, like, and you coach people, what are the benefits that you've seen, like the main benefits that you've seen?
For sure. So on the base level, your just anything you've been trying to improve in your life will get better and easier faster. So if you want better sleep, if you want to lose weight, if you want to feel more energetic in the gym, if you want to have an improved mood, or even if you're anxious or lean kind of toward depression or anything that's like not the most favorable mood, you will give yourself a fighting chance to actually deal with and alleviate and maybe potentially even conquer those things if you're not chemically fucking with the balances in your body with alcohol. So those all very superficial, your skin's going to get better. All of these things. Now, not immediately. I want to stress that to you. It's not just like stop drinking and 2 weeks later, you have a, you know, ripped body and glowing skin. It's probably going to take, I would give yourself closer to 90 days, but start with something small, but just know that some of these benefits don't just like fly out in a couple of weeks. But then on the bigger picture, you know, emotionally, I am more grounded and able to experience the spectrum of emotions from, you know, joy to grief at a much more profound level. I'm actually able to handle both of those spectrums as well and actually appreciate them. I'm more connected in my friendships. I have more friends that are not just acquaintances and go have fun buddies, but actually like, let's get in there and talk about real stuff. I know that you're going to show up and support me. I know that you love me and celebrate me for and appreciate me for who I am. I know that you truly see me. My romantic relationships, I'm still dating, but they have been much more profound and fulfilling and connected than they ever were before. I'm much more clear and capable and competent towards reaching my goals. And I feel like, you know, just on a spiritual level, I am consistently more connected to my intuition, consistently more connected to the higher power of my own understanding. And I'm manifesting things at a crazy rapid rate because I really cleared up my own kind of energetic presence at that level to where I'm a match for the things that I wanted. And before, I just wanted them and then was trying to trudge uphill toward them and it wasn't working so well. So truly everything in my life that I could imagine has become easier and better and more vibrant without alcohol in the picture.
I'm going to go ahead and say that like quitting alcohol in general has been like the glow up of my life. Right. Like, and I don't say that from a place of arrogance. I'm like very sincere about that. Like yes. The psychological glow up I have had is profound. Right. So I think different. I just think different. Like I have a relationship with God. When I was drinking, I thought I was worthless. Like I got to a point where I was always depressed. Like I lean, like you're saying, like I lean towards anxiety and depression, like by default. Like, and by the way, for anybody listening or people who like are friends of, lovers of, partners of, like the people with anxiety and depression don't like to have anxiety and depression. Like it doesn't feel good. So if you don't think it feels good to be around that, imagine being in it. Like being in it sucks. It sucks. Like it is not a fun experience, right? So I'm like, okay, if I remove alcohol from my life, like I have become, my baseline is less anxious. My baseline is less leaning towards depression or like those types of thoughts, right? I don't stay sad as long, like, right? I find deeper meaning outside of myself or I find a lot more purpose in my life. So not only has that, like we're talking about the benefits is like, I've had a psychological glow up. I've had an emotional glow up. And then externally, like I look at myself, like after my divorce and people think, oh yeah, she's had a post-divorce glow up. Baby, I've been glowing up since 2020. Like the glow up, I had to remove a ton of people, places, and things from my life, which I did through the gift of my sobriety. Right? Yes. I might not have done if I wasn't sober. I might not have made certain choices in my life, life-changing choices if I did not get sober. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the physical thing for me, it's almost like the last thing. It's like the last thing. Like now you see it having manifested in my outward expression, right? How I dress, how I take care of myself. My skin is better. Yes, it is. Like my hair is longer. Yes, it is. I lost some weight. People are like, oh, well, you don't drink. Yeah, that must be easy because you don't drink. Yeah.
But you also did the hard work of everything else. And it's not just, I think that the part that people have to get over is the hard part, which is abstaining. But then everything that comes into your life, yes, you will get those physical glow ups. But I'm with you; those are like an undercurrent to all of the things that got tremendously more beautiful.
Absolutely, like the outside glow up is nothing compared to like what I've gone through spiritually, emotionally, and like psychologically.
Yeah. And how could we not want that for other people? Like that is what will change the world. And I'm not saying that it can't happen with alcohol in the picture, but for people like me or you who drink consistently and sometimes heavily, that is the hugest transformation you can make. There's this quote by James Clear who wrote Atomic Habits that I always, isn't he so great? Like he's just a knowledge dropper, simplification of it at its finest. And he says, the ultimate form of optimization is elimination. Nothing is more effective than removing the ineffective. And if you think about, unless you're just, I have a glass of champagne once a year on New Year's Eve type person, which most of us aren't statistically, most of us drink in the gray or the black area.
Right.
Yeah. Most of us are drinking a little more heavily than that. Then I can guarantee you that alcohol is probably the most ineffective thing in your life. And if you eliminate it, if even for a time frame, I think that you will see some of the really beautiful things that Nikki and I are talking about. Now, will they be instant? No. Will you have to work for them? Yes, but it will be worth it. And I think that that's really beautiful.
Also, the bad shit doesn't stop happening.
No, like, it just gets easier to deal with.
Right. Like, I also, oftentimes, Amanda, I'm like, oh my gosh, what if my son got cancer when I was still drinking?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. How would you have handled it?
How would I have coped with that? Right. Like, mm-hmm. what if I was going through a divorce while I was still drinking? Like, mm-hmm. oh my God, I don't know. I don't know how I could have coped with that or been able to survive truly. So the hard stuff doesn't stop happening. My dear friend, she's been sober for 18 years. Her daughter, you know, passed away while she was sober, you know, mm-hmm. like the bad things still happen. It doesn't mean like, oh, great. Your life is so much better. You can process the things. It still hurts. And I think you touched on it a little bit before, Amanda, is that like you feel the full spectrum of the feelings. Like, so it's joy on 1,000. It's all of the things, love, like you feel it more potently. That also makes you susceptible to risk, right? Because when you take a chance on love, you risk heartbreak. Mm-hmm. That's part of it, right? Yeah. When you take a risk on starting that new business, you know, the risk is failing, right? So all of these things have their equivalent negative, their polar opposite, right? So just because we make our life glow up from the inside out doesn't mean that these negative aspects of life aren't going to happen, and they are going to happen. It's just a matter of time and severity. But like, how able are you now to sustain the dip? So I forget who, Seth Godin wrote a book called The Dip, and it's about like, how do you sustain life's dips so that you can come back up, and like also determining which dips are worth sustaining. Like, you know, maybe you're in a dip where you've been binge drinking. Like maybe that's something we need to get rid of, right? Maybe your relationship is in a dip, right? Like mm-hmm. you have to decide like, okay, is this marriage worth sustaining? Because we're going to come back up out of it. Also, like, can you sustain the low to get back up to the high? Because life is not it's not just a straight line. Like there are bumps. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So how do we get through that? And how do you put yourself in the best possible position to get through it and to thrive through it? People ask me all the time, like, how did you do it in that really hard time? I'm like, I had positioned myself in such a way that I was going to thrive after this.
Yes. And it, so many people are afraid of the hard things like heartbreak and pain and grief. And those are the things we choose to drink through.
Yeah.
And I think that the thing that I always remind my clients of is drinking doesn't get rid of those problems, or else you'd fail to be anxious. You know, what it does is it's really, if you think of alcohol as like a pickling, it's a preservative, it's pickling those emotions in your body. And do you really want to be holding on to like grief and heartache? No, we don't. We don't want that stored up in our body, but that's what we're doing instead of feeling it.
I've never thought it that way. It's like drinking, it's like pickling your emotions.
Yeah.
That's wild. I'm like mind blown right now. And it's true. Yeah. Your problems don't go away. Those feelings go away. If anything, they get worse, right?
Yeah. Then you're less capable of handling it, because then you come back. I'm imagining you're much like me, Nikki, is that the next day after you drink, you're anxious. You're like, why did I do that? I'm incapable of doing anything. So how are you going to solve your big problems the next day when you're in this like anxious spiral? I think that we look to alcohol as this cure-all, or maybe I'm going to defer my problems, but sure you do. But then you are at half capacity trying to deal with the same big problem that's still around. And that doesn't feel good. I can tell you from someone who has done that for a decade plus, and now as someone who's handled way bigger things alcohol-free than I did as a drinker, it is just a blip on the map. It still hurts, but it's just a blip on the map compared to putting yourself through prolonged suffering just because you don't freaking rip off the Band-Aid and deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that people do that in so many ways. I think that people, for example, who have like avoidant attachment styles, right? Like they're so terrified of change. Like people almost always know the answer. People almost always actually know the answer. They just don't necessarily want to face the answer. And I think that like drinking is a mask in a similar way, right? Mm-hmm. It's funny because like, even if I don't lean towards, I personally lean towards depression and anxieties, right? So if I was drinking, I was 100% feeling anxious the next day. Not everybody leans towards depression and anxiety. So like, but maybe it's more irritable. And as parents, for example, like I'm a mom of three. Like I remember when my two kids were babies that I was still drinking and I'm just like more irritable. Like everything mm-hmm. they say annoys me, right? Or like do annoys me. My partner, I'm like, I'm annoyed. Like I'm just baseline annoyed. Irritable. Always irritable, right? So it's like even my next day, that's why a lot of people, parents are like, man, I can't drink at night like that because I have my kid's soccer game in the morning and that's going to be like a big deal, right? Like people do take note of it. It's just whether they're implementing it or not. And I want to wrap up our chat by talking about like some simple tips that you have for people for overcoming fear and embracing that alcohol-free lifestyle. Because like we need the tips. Like it's all fun and games to be here and be like, we did it.
Our life is better. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. But like, and something that James Clear talks about a lot in Atomic Habits is habit stacking, right? Mm-hmm. Like building the habits. Like it's okay to have a goal. Like the goal. So what? What's the goal if you don't have a method of implementing it, right? So what are your tips for achieving like a sober curious life that even like towards sober curious or ultimately like choosing a path of sobriety, even if it's not consistent, maybe it's occasional, maybe it's seasonal, whatever it is.
Sure. And I think that, you know, even just leaning into that kind of James Clear theory process of habit stacking, that if you choose the habit of sobriety, even if it's just for a season, like let's say you have a big project, like let's say you're writing a book. If you choose your foundational habit for that season is I'm not going to drink, all of your other habits for the rest of that season, be it your morning writing routine, getting your 1,000 words in or however many words in, are going to be easier. And so even if it's just this is a habit for this season, go for it, because all your other habits are going to compound and be more powerful. Now, when it comes to practical things, I want to give you a few easy solutions and easy things.
Yeah.
First of all, if you're curious and you're here listening to this part of the conversation, I'm going to imagine that you are, and there's something that's been kind of like nibbling at you for a while that said, this is something that I could really reconsider. And I want you to remember that curiosity is not put on your heart at random and that you will always wonder what it would have been like unless you give it a fighting chance. Okay. So I really want to encourage you to give this goal, this desire, this thought a fighting chance. And you could start with something as simple as 30 days, but I really want to encourage you, if you want to have those benefits, to try and go for something more like 90 to 100 days. And I know that sounds insurmountable and scary and like, what will I do? Because there's always going to be a vacation or a happy hour or a birthday or something in that 90 days. Just try it for 90 days and see what happens. Even if it's your own birthday, even if it's the holiday season, whatever time of year you're making that commitment, just know that you are never going to regret trying it out for that 90 days and conquering those things. The other pieces that I would give you as advice are don't just quit drinking. Anyone can white knuckle their way through a habit for 30 to 90 days, but I really want you to get in there and start doing some of the inner work to give yourself the tools that alcohol has been helping you, alcohol has been kind of serving as. So if you're someone who's a social drinker because you have anxiety, I want you to start working with a coach or a therapist to work through anxiety so that you know how to manage it in a much more productive way. If you're someone who drinks through stress at the end of the night and that you just need to kind of calm it down, or maybe you are someone who's really busy and you're trying to shut your brain off at the end of the day with alcohol, I want you to seek out new habits that, sure, they're not going to be as sexy. They're going to feel really simple and stupid and boring at first. You won't want to do those stupid little habits because wine was so much more fantastic and romantic and, you know, whatever. But I really want you to try and find actual habits to replace alcohol that help you get to the feeling you were seeking with it. Not a habit to distract you, but a habit to help you get at that thing you were trying to avoid or achieve with alcohol. And if you can do those two simple things, take a break and stack in some emotional regulation habits on top of it, you are going to really see some massive transformation in your life.
I love that. I definitely can relate to white knuckling it. I mean, personally, I don't ever feel like I've white knuckled it, because like when I started getting sober, I definitely found a relationship with God, even though I like didn't want one. Right. Mm-hmm. I was like, God, mm-hmm. no, you put me here.
Yeah.
Like, this is you. I'm like, you want me to, I'm like, oh, you really want me to lean on you, God? This is your fault. I'm like, it's fault, right? The thing I know now, Amanda, is that like God gives us free will also, right? Like he can plant those seeds of curiosity in your heart, and now you have free will to do with it what you will.
Yes. Right?
So you have to be able to, like, I 100% agree. Curiosity is not placed in you by accident. It is not. But what are you going to do with it now that you have it, right? Mm-hmm. Lean into it. Like you said, Amanda, I think that's really important. Also acknowledging like why, okay, if I, like, because it's inevitable. You are so right. Like there's always going to be something. Like it's never the right time to have a hard conversation, right? It's just never. There's always something going on. So it's like, yes, you're going to have to go to a party, and yes, you're going to have a happy hour, and yes, you're going to have that work thing, and maybe there's a wedding, and maybe you got asked out on a date for the first date and you're just nervous. Okay, like let all that shit come up. Like let it come up. Like journal about it. Like, oh my gosh, this is my first time going on a date without drinking. I remember the first time I came, I'm in New York City right now. And like, I remember the first time I came back to New York, I used to like rage in New York until like 8 o'clock in the morning, right? The first time I came to the city, I was super triggered. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to be here without all these other feelings coming up. Okay, let me pay attention to those feelings now. Let me hold those feelings. Let me take care of those feelings. What part am I missing? What FOMO am I experiencing? What is this really? Like, look into it, right? And so now, like going to parties where I'm like, okay, it would be so much nicer to have a glass of champagne. There's a lot of nostalgia wrapped in it too. Like, oh my gosh, toasting the champagne. I miss champagne and beer. Like those are the things that I miss, for example. Mm-hmm. Still not willing to test the theory, you know? Taking a look at the underlying feelings that come up when we remove the alcohol, and then building the habits around it to support those feelings. Because it's what it is that we're coming up against aversion, right? Like what is where am I hitting a wall of aversion? This is a verse. I don't like this. How do I overcome? How do I sustain the discomfort of that feeling so I can get to neutral? Because a lot of the times I think is like, if you can sustain that discomfort for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, it begins to go away. And that's why people in recovery programs, you say one day at a time, it really comes down to like one moment at a time. It's like walking into a room and I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I'm anxious, 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 anxious. Don't know anyone. Don't know anyone. Don't know anyone. Scan the room, right? I do this still as a person. Like, I don't know anybody. Freaking out. This could be bad. Okay, just like get through this first 5 seconds of scanning the room and take a walk in and then smile or something, right? Like then do the good thing instead of like seeking out the bar, running to the bar and like looking for a crutch, right? Like, can you be your own crutch? Can you be your own crutch?
Ooh, yes.
Right?
And I know that we all can. That's the hard part, is that we've been led to believe that we need something outside of ourselves to achieve whatever it is that you're trying to get to. And, you know, you were talking about being kind of mad at God when you first started this process, because my process was also very spiritual. I wanted a connection with a higher power. But at the end of the day, I think that the cool thing that I hear in both of our stories, and probably a lot of the people listening, is that I think that it's a blessing that I lived a lifetime where it got that uncomfortable, that bad, that unfulfilling. Because if I would have just been a casual every now and again drinker, I would not have made the profound decision to cut it out altogether. Like we said, for a time frame or for a long time, a lifetime, and I wouldn't have the life I live today. And so I'm so glad that I got that uncomfortable, that was the path that I was put on, because I would have never said, well, fuck this path. I don't like this very much, and jumped onto the one that has been so profoundly fulfilling and amazing if I wouldn't have gotten that kind of uncomfortable and gross. And so I'm like, thanks God or whomever is up there, for universe, for watching over me and putting me in that discomfort and also giving me the clarity and the curiosity and the courage to say, that one's not for me anymore. I'm going to choose another one, and it's going to have its own kind of hard, but I know at the end of the day that I'm going to figure it out. And that is something I want to celebrate both of us, or anyone listening, for who might be curious about this path or already pursuing this path. I think it's really amazing and just inspiring.
Amanda, thank you so much. I've loved chatting with you. Where can people get more of you? Like, where can people find you?
Absolutely. I am on the internet, most places at Amanda Kuda. I'm mostly on Instagram. And then I have my book, Unbottled Potential, Break Up with Alcohol and Breakthrough to Your Best Life, that I published last year. My childhood dream come true, not to write a self-help book, but to write a book, period. And I am just so proud of it because it's intended to be that foundational piece that we kind of talked about to help you understand how your life could be different and more beautiful and more fulfilling without alcohol in the picture. So if this conversation has resonated with you, I'd love if you check that out. It would be so wonderful to like speak to you in that way.
Awesome. Amanda, thank you so much. You're a light. I love being around a light like you. And I would love to connect again and have this conversation even more in depth, because I think that especially like coming into the holidays, a lot of people are beginning and the new year, you know, like people are questioning their relationship with alcohol, trying to improve their lives. And I love sharing this wisdom with you. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you so much for listening to The Know. If you loved this episode, go ahead and share it with a friend. Words are so powerful, and someone may need to hear what we covered today. And if you really loved this episode, please take a moment to rate the show and leave a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect on The Know. You can connect with me personally via Instagram at Nikki Sapp Spo and The Know with Nikki Spo. My hope for you today is that you are fearless in looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.
I'm not going to lie, you're slacking. You're slacking on starting that business you've been holding off on. It's just living in your head. And if you don't act now, that idea is going to leave, or maybe someone's going to take that idea. And there's a tool that I personally use, and that is Shopify. You don't need to be a web designer. You can just start moving, zooming in, adding the text you need, adding pictures you need. And Shopify has so many templates you can use from. Get it out of your head and onto a website with Shopify. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. They make it easy to manage growing your business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on all the important stuff like growing your business. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025 has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sonoro to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/sonoro.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.